What would happen if instead of composing predetermined assignments, college composition students could compose whatever they want to compose? What would happen if students could set their own deadlines and grade their own work? Find out as Assistant Professor Mason Joyner and I explore these questions with a few of our fellow English department colleagues. I'm Monica Mankin, and this is the English 101 Experiment. Well, it is October 25th, and we are here to continue the English 101 Experiment Podcast, Episode 2. I'm Monica Mankin, Associate Professor of English at Delgado Community College.
I'm Mason Joyner. I am an Assistant Professor of English at Delgado Community College. And here we've got...
I'm Joseph Buckley, an Assistant Professor of English at Delgado Community College.
And how long have you been teaching at Delgado, Joe?
I don't know. 2016, I think.
Yeah, we were hired the same year.
Yeah, 16, mm-hmm. six years full time, and then many semesters of adjuncting and tutoring before that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Joe, let's catch up a little bit on what we talked about last time. In our first episode, we were just sort of giving a general outline of what our experiment is. We are doing something radical and not assigning any essays to our students. We are having them design their own compositions and working with them on a very much a one-on-one kind of basis in planning their projects and such. What else, Monica?
I think that kind of summarizes.
Okay, good.
The core of the experiment, which is that we're not doing the assigning. We're not spending our time explaining assignment instructions or requirements.
What else was covered on this podcast?
I guess maybe the why. Why are we doing this? Why are we blowing? Well, we're not really blowing everything up. I don't really like describing it that way.
It's very violent.
It's also like this is very controlled, actually, because we did spend a lot of time planning what we're doing, and it's not just a free-for-all. It's an experiment, which means there's a control. There's something controlled about it. So we really just spent a lot of time with our colleague Corey Pellerin talking about why we're trying new things, why we're taking this approach, and that was kind of the goal of episode one.
Mm-hmm. And I think in this episode, our goal is to zoom in just one step and talk about how those student projects are developed and monitored over the course of the semester.
So, how do you develop these projects? Because you have to have some way of evaluating them, right? So how does this come about?
Right. We haven't gotten to evaluation yet, but...
I'm sorry. Just monitoring.
Well, evaluation is part of the process. We actually, at this point in the semester,
haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant in the conversation. I was like, I'm sorry!
No.
No.
I think the process sort of started... asking the students to think about what authentic composing they might want to do in their lives, in their personal life, and in their online, I guess, presence at work. Right? Is there anything that you want or need to write? Maybe again for yourself or as a professional or in some other way. And so we sort of had a list of ideas, just to sort of get wrap their minds around what are things that people write in real life, not just for a class.
What were those?
Well, I want to add to that before we dive into what the potential projects were. I think too, we're spending a lot of time journaling, and especially at the beginning, we talked a lot about goal setting and having students sort of think about their own goals, like what they want to achieve in a composition course. So to connect with what Mason was just saying about the kind of writing you need to do in your professional life, your personal life, I had students thinking really about their major. What kind of demands mm-hmm. does your major have? And how can you use that to develop a composition project? So we did spend a lot of time on goals, mm-hmm. and that actually took a lot longer than I thought that it would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's some good goals, mm-hmm. right? But I actually brought the handout that we used. Actually, Mason was the one that put this together, but I borrowed it from my class. And so there's just a list of goals that students have kind of mentioned over the years and mm-hmm. then that maybe came up in journaling in class that were compiled here.
Yeah, so this whole list came from, asking them what their goals were, and they like turned that in on a loose leaf sheet of paper, and I sort of compiled all this. Some of these are from like maybe what one student wrote. Some of these are like combinations. Several students said something along the lines of this. So yeah, for example.
Yeah, so there's everything from understanding language better to having more confidence when reading or writing, thinking bigger, writing longer works, focusing on my mental health, testing myself, pushing myself out of my comfort zone, finding freedom. Like there's some real philosophical mm-hmm. goals here, which is kind of cool coming from our students.
Yeah. Do you guys find that those, to circle back to this key word that I, do you find that those are authentic answers, or are those answers that people have told them in their lives that they should, like wanting to read and write better? Is that what they act? Is that an authentic statement?
I think for some of them, it really is. They really do want to improve their writing. They feel like they're not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they know this is a composition class. I think maybe on some level, maybe, and this is what you're getting at mm-hmm. with this question, is that they feel like that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But I do think that for some of them, it is a genuine goal. And I think I've seen that mm-hmm. kind of realized even as we've been working on these projects. So,
yeah.
I think that, yeah. Yes and no.
Yeah, I mean, it's a general enough phrase that they may not really understand what it means to be better at reading and writing.
Right.
But I think even the ones that are sort of just throwing that out as a sure, I'm in English class, I want to get better at English. I think even though they may just be saying that, on some level, those students also acknowledge that that is a real skill that mm-hmm. they could perhaps improve in.
Yeah. And that they're in the environment, the classroom mm-hmm. to do. That's like what we're here to do.
Yeah.
So lying authenticity, I guess, in that instance, doesn't even matter, because it's like that's the end game anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be better.
Yeah. But as I said, it took longer than I thought for students to establish goals, because I think maybe there was some of that, like, I put goals I thought you wanted mm-hmm. me to
yes.
put,
yes.
but you actually want me to put my own goals.
Yeah.
Like it, I think that it was just kind of hard for them to wrap their minds around the idea that they were totally in charge.
Yeah. Or your education is for you.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
Your education is for you. What do you want to get out of the class?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you guys see some breakthrough moments probably? So like you see the canned answer like English. And then like a week or two after journaling, you're like, holy shit, this person actually came up with a legitimate goal in their specific like experience or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's like there was a whole process of starting with goal setting and then helping them connect goals to projects mm-hmm. and then to mm-hmm. actions for completing those projects. Mm-hmm. So to come back to the question about projects,
mm-hmm.
What are some of the projects, Mason, that we kind of gave as examples, mm-hmm. which some of my students took them and ran in a different direction, mm-hmm. Just as a springboard.
Right. Yeah, I've edited this list a bit, I think, for future semesters, but gosh, from memory, totally from memory, I'm thinking there was something about writing a...
Actually, you don't have to use your memory.
paper.
I'm a fan of the helpful handout.
So there are lots of letters that people have to write. You know, you might be a personal letter, sure, but job application letters, we have to write letters of recommendation. That's like a skill that you cover letters, business letters, things like so. You know, what I've always loved about letters as an assignment is it has a extremely specific audience, the most specific audience perhaps that any piece of writing can have. What else? We talked about Oh, writing the first chapter of that novel you've always wanted to write. Joe, you know, you've got that novel. We've all got that novel.
It's all in there somewhere.
Writing a freelance article for your local website, for a local website, newspaper, magazine. Restaurant reviews is one that a lot of the students really latched onto. I had in one section, at least, several students want to compile a cookbook of family recipes. So stuff like that, you know, stuff that, doesn't just sit on a database or in a cloud or in a desk drawer, like stuff that actually applies to something outside of Delgado.
Yeah, and because that is one of the, if we want to call it a requirement, is that they do have to deliver their compositions to the audiences that they're intended for. Also have the cookbook one is really, I have a couple of students, one in my 8 o'clock English 101, compiling a cookbook that is family recipes, but it's also connected to mental health. So for each recipe, there's an explanation of how these ingredients like contribute to your health and how and there's a lot of punning, like, you know, there's banana nut bread, and then it's all about, like, you know, being nutty. Like, it's just really, it's really fun. And then another student is, it's a cookbook of Turkish recipes that she wants to pass down to her children. So she's including some narrative in there and kind of the significance of these meals and in the context of their culture. I will say that I have been enjoying the variety of projects. Like, I'm not great. I'm not looking at 25 of the same exact thing, know, within a 1 week period.
Only 24 cookbooks in that class, right? Yeah. Also, you could sell those. Cookbooks is something you could sell. Yeah. That's like a legitimate, like lucrative.
Totally.
Something you
I even
monetize.
Had a, you know, one student looking at Amazon Publishing.
Oh, yeah.
For their project, which would be really awesome. I think it might have been a cookbook, cool, yeah.
That's as outside of Delgado as real world as it can get.
So I just met with a student today to go over her draft, and she reviewed 52 articles and synthesized them to address some of the problems with current cancer research and to try to kind of push forward to a solution. It was over my head.
Yeah, this is in your, 102. Is this 102? This is 110?
This is in your graduate class?
Henry.
Yes.
This is in my
med school?
This is in my English 101 for non-native Henry, speakers. She already works in the field, but she's working on her degree. Of course, that's what she's trying to do. But yeah, it's very, I was just really impressed. And initially, she had planned to do two projects, and I told her, no, you just focus on this one. You read 52 articles.
No. Oh, yeah, you're done. Yeah. You're done with English
So we're
forever.
Working on, she wants to publish it in a medical journal. So now we're kind of, the next phase is I wanted her to send me the list of journals that she's looking at so that I can help her to kind of revise and finalize according to those standards. Yeah, I mean, how awesome will it be if she gets published? You know, like, that's just... Yeah, it's really, it's very exciting, very satisfying.
So after we have sort of helped the students develop their composition project ideas, sort of the next phase of that was creating what we, the language that we landed on was an action plan. You know, we had thrown around the idea of like calling it a proposal or a compass. And action plan I liked because it's a Googleable phrase that shows you real world examples of something called an action plan spreadsheet, like a spreadsheet kind of thing that breaks a project down into tasks. Every task has a target completion date, has like a little progress bar, all that kind of stuff.
Wait, a progress bar? And what is there like an app for this?
It's an Excel spreadsheet,
just, baby. Oh, just an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be advanced. It can just be, an approximation.
But who doesn't like a progress bar, right?
Yeah.
That's just, you're speaking the language of the masses, man. We want to...
So, how did that go in your classes, Monica? action plans.
Right. So one thing that I learned that I will do differently next time is to maybe help spend a little more time, maybe workshop some of the action plans, so that, because there was kind of some confusion about the like the goal and the action, and like the goal, some of their goals were ending up where there should have been actions, and so I think we need to talk a little bit more about verbs and what kind of verbs we use when we're talking about completing something. But once we've sort of worked through that, having them transfer those actions to the spreadsheet, putting in a time, like you should have seen their faces when they were like, I can set my own deadlines. And I said, yeah, there's only two deadlines we can't negotiate with, and that's the midterm grade and the final grade. So we need to keep that in mind. And we decided as a class when we wanted to make sure everybody was done with projects. So we our kind of end date is that Monday before the Thanksgiving break. So everybody should have delivered their their compositions to their audiences by then. But I think, like I said, this part took a lot longer than I anticipated, but probably because none of us have ever done done this before. But I think I've noticed them, like they come in and when they have time to be working on their projects, like I see them opening up these timelines and checking off that this is done or updating. And I think it's really been a helpful tool for them to keep track of themselves and to kind of keep the end goal in mind without me even having to remind them.
So what comes up? So you got to do an action plan for 15 weeks or whatever, 14 weeks, whatever, 13. What if a student says, and I know this came up, it had to have, okay, here's my action plan, 4 weeks, done. See you guys in December. What do you say to that?
I say, you have time for another project.
But what if they argue that this project completes all the goal, right? What if they keep, do they keep pressing? Have they pressed that?
So one of the things that we did, both of us, Mason and I, with our students, was we spent a time at the beginning when we were helping them to develop their ideas and their action plans, talking about equity, talking about how much work should be involved, and talking about the work that's expected across English 101 classes in the college. And how do we make sure that we're doing that work too? And they talked with each other and we talked as a class. And after those conversations, everybody kind of felt like they were, you know, they were on track. They were doing the same amount of work. They made suggestions to each other. If somebody was like, I'm going to write a college admission essay or I'm going to write a cover letter, then I could hear classmates saying, well, maybe you should also do this too, because it's not going to take you, you know, 8 weeks to write a college admission letter. So they were really encouraging each other to develop additional projects for the, to kind of make sure that everybody's doing an equal amount of work.
And, you know, as far as, are they composing enough and enough of academic kind of work for English 101? I think part of this action plan, part of the beauty of this action plan for us is that without ever really saying it to them, your action plan is something that you've composed, and it's a very professional academic thing that you've composed.
Yeah, I mean, they probably spent more, you know, man hours, labor hours than they would on a traditional, what, like narrative essay or whatever, right? Like
right.
They've spent weeks on this because they're probably, it's a living dot, right? It's edited, continually revised and edited. The action plan itself could be the final. What if someone got that meta? Oh, wow.
For my first project, I'm going to create an action plan. To create this action plan, I will create an action plan.
I'm gonna deliver it. My target audience will be a class in the next semester. I will be doing this for the class of the next semester.
See, this is why you need to join our experiment, Joe.
Yeah, man. I like this meta stuff.
But I imagine I will have some of my students again next semester for English 102, and that action plan is going to come up again. And I hope that this time they'll know what I'm asking them to do. Because I think even like this semester, having my students do their research project, like proposal, was just, it was what the F is this? Like, I don't even know what you're turning in. This isn't even what I've asked. So I think that like, this is something students need to know how to do. And
especially for a research paper.
Yeah. You know, for any kind of big project that's time consuming and has many parts, like you need to be able to break it down. You need to be able to understand that this is, you don't wait till the night before to try to, you know, and then get ChatGPT to, you know, write you some bullshit. Like you know, you have to kind of really, you have to think about it and be responsible
foresight. You got to have some foresight. Yeah.
So Monica Jo had also asked about how we are monitoring these projects. You want to take a first stab at that?
Yeah. Monitoring. Mm-hmm. Sounds so clinical.
Not to be conflated with evaluation, which is what I mistakenly
So I'm guessing with monitoring, we're like making, I guess that's a kind of a, how are we helping keep students on track? How are we checking progress? So this is happening like almost every day in class mm-hmm. and also through conferencing. So yeah, students have had time to work in class on drafts. We're now kind of, we're doing things on like a micro and macro level mm-hmm. Where we are workshopping entire pieces, but I've also had them start to like just pull sentences out of what they're working on so that we can kind of focus mm-hmm. on sentence, you know, strengthening our sentences in the context of the larger purpose of our projects. So it's just right now, it feels very smooth. It feels like mm-hmm. things are humming along for the most part. I can't say it will feel like that next week, but I am meeting right now, too, with students with their Checkpoint 3 conference. Mm-hmm. That's the purpose of the girl that I met with today who did the amazing mm-hmm. cancer research synthesis. They are. And the thing is, like, they're eager to check in. They mm-hmm. want to show me what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They want to show each other. When I was leaving my 101 this morning, they were hanging out with each other in class. Like, they weren't leaving. And they were, like, talking to each other. Like, people who don't even sit next to each other in class were, like, getting together because they had read each other's drafts that are in our mm-hmm. Canvas discussion forum, and they were like giving each other feedback just because,
nice.
You know, so yeah. they're kind of also keeping each other, mm-hmm. on, you know, engaged and moving forward.
Yeah. I think before the semester started, Monica and I had outlined four specific checkpoints, and maybe we'll renegotiate that. But first checkpoint, and by checkpoint, this would be a one-on-one conference, required one-on-one conference, right? As for me, I think was sort of shoring up their composition ideas, you know, in connection to their goals, their personal goals. Checkpoint two is like, you've done your action plan. It's time for me to look at it and say, all right, so I see you've got, maybe consider adding more tasks here pertaining to obtaining feedback on this draft. And so our opportunity to offer feedback on the action plans, checkpoint three, is sort of like draft time. We're looking at rough drafts, and that's where I'm at currently in the process. And checkpoint four is going to be like the final conference where we talk to the student about what they've composed over the course of the semester, how they've delivered those compositions,
how much they felt like they achieved their goals,
exactly, yeah.
And it's kind of it's an opportunity for them to self-evaluate. Mm-hmm. So the grade will be, I'm kind of thinking of it as a collaboration between me and the student. The student, kind of the whole point here was to give them more agency, and I think by the end of the term they should know what their grade is mm-hmm. without me having to tell them. So. I mean, of course, I'm there as the heavy if I have to be, but I don't foresee a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah, I think co-evaluation is something that I'm interested in exploring in those final conferences. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, co-evaluation. Okay.
Yeah.
I find that students are usually pretty honest with what they mm-hmm. want, or you know, if they want an A, just you know, and they're vocal about it. Hey, I want an A. Sure, that's you know, that's usually enough to if that's they're aware that they want the A. They uh-huh. usually understand.
Hopefully, they've been aware enough that they did what
they needed to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. not just saying it mm-hmm. blankly.
Yeah, but I imagine in a week or two we will start to discuss as a class like how do we evaluate a body of work mm-hmm. and how do we do that in the context of academic requirements and what the purpose of the class is. Like you had your own goals, but there's also like what constitutes an A, a B, a C, and really kind of. Have those conversations with them about the work itself, but I think also as for the like a course grade, because as we know, we don't just evaluate, it's not just the products that mm-hmm. students produce that you know leads them to pass or fail. There's other factors that play into that. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to having those conversations with them in a week or
agreed.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
What about the at the end of the semester? How are they going to share? Are they going to share all this with each other?
So some of them, I think they are, like, the class will be the audience, because they're, that's who they're composing for, is other people that are, you know, of the same age, or
peers,
their peers. But other people, like, I think there'll be a lot of submissions to Images Magazine, which is Delgado's student literary magazine.
I'll be in the show notes.
Yeah. So, and then other, I have some people are giving presentations, or it fits in the context of their job. So they would be delivering it to their coworkers at their job. And that's something we need to start talking about too. Like, it's just kind of a reminder of how are we going to deliver these projects to their audiences.
Right.
And just a reminder of, like, that's the final step.
Delivering it is not like pressing submit to Canvas.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
What about this? What is it, week 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always with this one student, right? Like, who shows up, you know, the haven't been there in 10 weeks, showing up week 11. Okay, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
How is that different than like a normal semester where I'm like, okay, you just need to do all these things, or whatever, the inverse of that. You can't, the door's closed, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. How are you guys approaching that? Have you approached that? Has that come up?
I mean, I've had a lot of not so much like somebody who hasn't been here at all and is now showing up, but I've had a lot in my 101 students who are present, you know, either literally in person or digitally. Like, they're only present maybe like once every couple of weeks.
Right.
I've had a lot of that.
Right.
Honestly, I don't have an answer to that question, Joe. I'm still figuring that out, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monica, what do you think?
So most of my students are pretty consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who are not know what they should be doing, because they created their plan. So there isn't a whole, like, what did I miss? What are we doing? Because they know. They know what they should be doing.
Or take them back to the top step. Okay, start, mm-hmm. create an action plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I made it very clear at the beginning that this course is progressive. So there will be no showing up at week 11 and turning in all your work from the beginning.
I mean, that
of the
doesn't
semester.
Work in any course.
No, but I think.
Traditional or radical.
I think, though, like, you know, when you have like, oh, we do the narrative essay and then we do an analysis essay and then we do. Students kind of do think that those things are not connected and that there's no progression happening. So they think that, oh, well, I can just turn that narrative essay in week 12 because it's not connected to what we're even doing. But it's, and of course we know that's not true, but it's that kind of structure to me is part of the problem.
Right.
Where this is really emphasizing process in such a way that, like, students know that, like, if they haven't written anything by now, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some students who kind of, I just sent some emails yesterday to kind of reach out to students that I haven't seen for a couple class meetings, but that were kind of on a good track, and I don't know what's happened to them. And there's still time. It's still that kind of like, they could still do it if they show up this week, and I can see I can see what they've composed, but it is kind of getting to that, like, make or break point where you just are out of time, and that means you didn't keep up with your own timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you say that this is do your students in this framework of class, is it a more independent? Do they have more independence than the traditional, the other class? Are they more independent? Do you guys take – how about this? Let me give you an exact example. Do you guys take attendance?
Oh, yeah.
Very much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20% of the grade. So the way the grade is determined, the overall course grade, is 20% is attendance or I'm calling it presence.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And the journal. So it includes their journal, and they have to be present in class. Then I think 10% was the action plan and timeline, and 20% are the conference checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
And then 50% will be the final
thing.
Compositions with their self-evaluation included in that. So I guess to answer the question of attendance, yes, it matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't. But what if you're an independent superstar and is there like a way to circumvent that in the sense of like, hey, I just want to work with Mason. I just want to go to Mason's office like once a week, chit chat with him. I'm just like, you know, I'm reading 52 articles and synthesizing the information. are they kind of like left to their own devices, or do they have to come in and sit there for like the lecture on how to summarize a paragraph or something?
Well, there are no lectures on how to summarize a paragraph.
Oh, okay, this brings up a. Okay.
But that we might save that for the next.
Sorry. Yeah.
For the next episode,
which is the day to day, what happens in the classroom.
Yeah, what we're gonna do day to day.
And we're doing the grades. I'm like, I'm sorry. Never mind.
It's okay. There's a lot to talk about. That's kind of why we broke it up. But I do think we are out of time, so I don't know if we want to just have like a final thought.
Final thoughts, Joseph.
Cool stuff. Thanks. I don't have a grand. I don't have anything grand to say. I mean, it's all just it's all just conjecture. It's all theory crap, whatever, all that stuff.
Well,
it's cool stuff. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah.
We definitely appreciate you taking the time out of your. You could be grading some stuff, but you're here with us instead.
I'm pretty much halfway to solving world hunger, but now I'm a little bit behind, so 30 minutes behind, so no big deal.
All right, well, thank you, Joe. Thank you, listeners.
All right, yeah, thanks, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the English 101 Experiment. Special thanks to Christopher Nicotera, instructor of music business at Delgado Community College, for his recording assistance. All music heard during this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. Specific titles and artists are listed on the English 101 Experiment website.